And hi, hello, everybody. Welcome on back. Welcome back. Welcome back to another edition of, well, pardon me, it's not Racing Refresh anymore. It's still the same brand. We're still under the same umbrella, but this show is now called Speed Syndicate. I'm Logan Logan anymore, so whatever's left of him. And we hope that you've enjoyed your off season, but it is now come to pass. So with that, it's Monday. You know what that means. Let's talk a little racing. Luckily, I don't do it alone. And so let's bring him in. Let's bring in the show creator, the man that, look, he's a fan of the Canadian tuxedo, and I'm a fan of him. Let's bring him in here. John Mayer's biggest fan, Adam Canadian Carabine. Come on in here, Adam.
What's up? We're back. Isn't this weird?
Do you actually like the Canadian tuxedo?
Is it like all denim or whatever?
I think so.
I don't know. I like a good pair of jeans. But not so much as a shirt or a top. No, I wouldn't go that far. But I'm a pretty big jeans guy myself. So
I like a good pair of jeans.
Yeah, I really do. It's nice and comfy. How is it going, Logan? You know what? We haven't even started the full intro here. We have someone else we need to introduce. Why don't you bring that person?
Absolutely. Look, she keeps us in line. She's my better half. She's the best looking person on this dais, without a doubt. And I thought she was going to have to paint her face for a second after watching last night, because her boy was making the charge.
Sure was.
And so I thought for a second, maybe. Let's bring her in, my favorite gal, and hopefully yours, the best brows in the business, producer Peyton Lohr. Come on in here, Peter. Come on in here. How are you?
I am tired, but I'm here. I'm here. Ryan Blaney did not win the first race of the season, but you know what? It doesn't count for points.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
So we're living, we're loving. We don't care that much. It's fine.
Producer Peyton, how was your off season?
A lot of things happened. I won't bore you. I might have been in the hospital a lot, but you know, it's fine. We don't care. It's in the past. It's fine. I'm fine. We don't care.
All right.
We care.
Before we start talking the Clash, the Ballyhoo at Bowman Gret, how was your offseason?
The offseason was good. It was busy. It always feels like it's going to be really long, and it sucks those first few weeks. And then, honestly, like, I kind of blinked, and here we are. We're at the Clash. Well, we just had the Clash, and Daytona's in a couple weeks. I'm excited. Nothing too exciting. Well, actually, hold on. No, I do have something very exciting I need to share with you both, although it shouldn't come as a surprise to you. Over the Christmas holidays, my lovely country, Canada, was on a bit of a postal strike. And so Producer Peyton had sent me a Christmas gift, which I just got today, finally, on February 3rd, and I would like to just have a moment here. You might have noticed I'm kind of sitting off to the side. It's because I'm kind of blocking this. Wait for it. There we go. It's a little hard to see on camera, but it is the most amazing gift that anyone has ever given me. And Producer Peyton, actually, to be honest, it came from Logan too. Let's be honest. You guys are gems, and I thought we would just have that going here today in the background. I don't think that's going to be its permanent home, but I literally just got it about 45 minutes ago. So okay. We're working on it.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Honestly, what an amazing gift, and just so thoughtful and so lovely. In case you can't tell, it does say Racing Refresh, but yeah. Logan, how about you? How was your off season?
My off season was, you know, the first few weeks are just miserable. The only thing that gets you through is the holidays here in the U.S., right? The first few weeks are just, you think about, what am I doing with my life? I mean, sure, football's fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I watch plenty of the good old-fashioned American football. Sure do. Udago Bank. But by the time Christmas rolls around, I am on no racing of any sort, no NASCAR, no NHRA. You start jonesing. You start going to NASCAR Classics or the new Tubi channel, and you just start jonesing. But overall, my off season was well. We have a lot of big plans for 2025, and we spent it just kind of prepping for this, right? We've been doing some off season stuff. You've probably seen the refresh reports if you dial in on our YouTube channel, and if you're not subscribed yet to our YouTube channel, you should totally subscribe to our YouTube channel. Matter of fact, there's a fancy new button that you can, if you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And so you should totally subscribe to our YouTube channel. Freddie says he's wanting Hickory to have the clash next year. Yeah, subscribe to the YouTube channel. All right, let's talk about the clash.
We got Freddie in the comments. Hope your off season was good too, Freddie.
He said,
at least on the off season.
Look, I'm rocking a Cope shirt right now, Freddie. I'm rocking a Cope shirt right now. You're fine, you know. So yeah, look,
in honor of Derek Cope.
No, it's a
Cope
it's
Family a nice Racing.
I mean, hey, we great interview we have with Leland Honeyman Jr. Check that out on our YouTube page. But no, that's not the Cope I'm particularly referring to at this point. Right. Anywho, let's talk about the clash. Let's go ahead and let's do that. You know what that means, Peter? You know what it means it's time for? You want to tell me? Come on. I want you to do it one time. One time.
Let's go to our weekend review.
Was that not the greatest weekend review send-off we've ever had?
Honestly, I think you might have just lost your job, Logan. That was amazing.
It's all right.
She's on fire today, and I know that this Christmas gift was sent many moons ago, but I'm counting it as a today thing, and so, yeah, she's on fire, and so are you. You know what? You both are.
I forgot that, I forgot about it. Because, I helped pay a little cheddar. She did all the work.
Yeah, I love it.
And so I kind of forgot about it, truth be told. But anywho, let's talk about it. What did you think of the clash?
Yeah, so, I mean, Chase Elliott wins, which is, the people that say NASCAR is scripted are, of course, celebrating their win. I thought it was fine. Sure. Does it give me a little bit of hope for, NASCAR's short track package right now? Yeah, a little bit. It wasn't a terrible race. There was some passing, which was nice to see. I know Chase Elliott kind of dominated, which made it a little less exciting, but you did have the Ryan Blaney drama. He came from all the way in the back to up to P2 there, which was pretty exciting. And on a quarter mile, that's hard to do, I imagine, in these cars. So that was cool. I'm going to say I'm more excited at the fact that NASCAR is back than I am by that race yesterday. That the race itself, I don't know. We can get into that a little bit later, but it's not, I just don't love the clash in general. It's not my jam. What about you?
I don't know why we don't get into it now.
Okay, sure.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, I know you.
I didn't like it. And I say that as somebody that thrives on nostalgia, right? Especially nostalgia I never actually saw. Mm-hmm. And so, I wasn't impressed. Look, it's just a different time. It is. It's a different time. And I thought that showed, to be honest. I think it's too small of an area for the cars. I think that showed, or maybe not. Maybe it's it's a different driving style now. I mean, let's be honest. The guys don't have as much respect nowadays as they did in the old days. And here's the big difference. Why, in my opinion, they don't have to pay for it.
Right.
They don't have to pay for it. Most teams can afford to pay for it. And so, and now the cars are cheaper. Cheaper than ever because of the next gen, which is a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong, but it does make a couple of good old boys kind of lose their temper easier and not think about the repercussions, quote unquote. And so yeah, not a fan. No, I thought like it's cool to see Bowman Gray packed. I mean, that's awesome. That's much better than the Clash at LA ever did.
Yeah,
that was cool. That's fine. That nothing wrong with that. Ain't got an issue at all.
Well, and the crowd was great. Honestly, that was one of the best parts of it. Was the crowd was just like super into it, and so like I'm happy for them. Obviously, like there's some Bowman Gray, you know, regulars there who just like go see their kind of weekly stuff there, and they got to see the big show come and make an appearance, which is cool. So I'm happy for them. I read somewhere that like the capacity there is like 17,000, which is probably like on the very low end for NASCAR, but there's also something about the passion of those fans that's cool to see. So that got me excited as well. I was happy to see that, but I do agree. I think the quarter mile is just too short for these cars. And I'm not someone, you know, for those who have been watching this for longer than just today, I'm not necessarily someone who is, you know, a huge historian of NASCAR. I've only just got into this sport like 6 years ago. And I'm not someone who goes and sees like my local short track stuff. Like I don't really know the short track etiquette and all that. I know there's a little bumping and moving and stuff going on there, but it just feels like these cars, it's like they have like a limiter on them almost, just because they can't really even fully get up to speed before they're turning again, you know? So
yeah, look, I thought that, like, again, I like the concept, I like the idea, I love the idea of going back to old school tracks, but let's be real here for a second. Last night it got to a point, and look, Chase Elliott dominated, and that's great, but besides Chase Elliott dominating, it got to a point where we're playing a glorified version of bumper cars here.
I mean
all kidding aside, we are. And I just, as far as the television product, which is where a lot of the money is made nowadays, I don't think that juice is worth the squeeze. Where do you guys think it would be good for the Clash to go next? Back to Daytona. Nowhere else. Daytona. Today, yeah. Yesterday, and tomorrow. Daytona. Not Hickory, not North Wilkesboro, not the Clash at the Coliseum, not another made-up football field in Bristol. Daytona International Speedway. That is where it should be. That is where it was. That is another thing that just grinds my gears. Just, I mean, flat out chaps my ass, if I'm being quite frank. They spent so much time on, well, it's back to the roots of NASCAR, right?
Yeah.
Roots of NASCAR at the Clash at Daytona.
Yeah. You know what? My opinion on it is, I mean, yeah, Freddie said, what about The Rock getting the Clash? Sure, you know, I can see the benefits in like going to these kind of older tracks that maybe don't actually get to see much action these days from NASCAR, and revitalizing these old markets. Honestly, my opinion, cancel the Clash. Let's just start with the Daytona 500. I don't like the, just all this. I don't like that there's no points involved. I feel like, why do we care? Why does anyone want to win? I mean, do they even win a huge amount of money or something? I don't really know what the prize money is or what, but even like if you listen to Chase Elliott's celebration over the radio when he won, it was nowhere near what a regular points paying race win would be. You know, it was like, yeah, guys, thanks. Whoa, great job, everyone. Instead of like, I want that, like, yeah, you know, like, it just, I don't know if they care. Like,
I was telling our producer, Peyton, last night, I don't think the drivers really care if they make the show. I think the sponsors care.
Of course.
I think the sponsors care. I think they care a lot. But this feels like an event made for TV. And I mean, literally made for TV. We did it because of TV. It feels like just something to add in for the contract, and it feels like something to that gives the networks. It gives the networks content. That's what it does.
Yeah, hold on, we got Freddie here saying start Daytona 500 first weekend in February and add two more events to the schedule to make it 38 race weekends. I mean,
Freddie, I don't know if I can do much more.
38 is a lot. Are you talking like 38 points paying races or like the all-star race? Like at least with the all-star race, there's like, is it $1 million they're racing for? Yeah. At least it feels like they're trying a little harder for that. You know, he says also for us to have 43 cars start the cup race.
The limit is currently 40. That's as far as you can.
Technically 41. In some rare cases,
if you have a BS exemption, yes,
if you're special enough,
if you're we'll special that enough, too. And I guess Mike Wallace wasn't special enough.
No,
but
Matt Maher says
500s, and you'll get a good headline.
If we're gonna do a short track for the Clash, utilize one that the Cars Tour uses,
or just put it back at Daytona.
Clash used to be a $1 million prize money. I don't know. They didn't really mention anything about $1 million, so I don't know if that is a thing still, or if it's just like, yay, bragging rights.
In theory, the appetizer's nice.
Yeah.
The appetizer's nice. But it's like going to, you ever have a restaurant that you go to, and I can name a few here, but I'm not going to out of respect, and they're not paying us.
Yeah.
Out of respect, and they're not paying us. I have a few restaurants that every once in a blue moon, it sounds good, right? Sounds really good.
Yep.
And then every time I go, I'm a little underwhelmed.
Right.
And then in about 6 months, I want to do that ritual again for some reason. Because I don't make the same mistake twice, Adam. I make it 5 or 6 times to be sure. Well, and that's how the Clash currently feels.
Mm-hmm.
I get really excited about it because cars are back on track, right? That's
same. Awesome.
It's a, because it's, you know, I know it's a short off season. It's too short of an off season for the people to work in the sport, quite frankly. But as a fan, first and foremost, and I am that, and I will always be that, no matter how far I go in this sport, Matt, we'll get to that. We'll talk about it.
We'll get there in a sec. We'll get to you in a sec.
We'll get there. That's what the Clash feels like. Is like, yeah, it's a respectable appetizer, but every time I'm a little underwhelmed. And I feel that way again. I like going back to old school tracks and paying homage and paying tribute to not only the drivers that helped make this sport what it is today, but the fans that helped make this sport what it is today. Because let's be honest, we ain't got a sport no one's watching. And let's be real about it. And what I mean by that is that's one of the tracks where people fell in love with NASCAR way, way back. That's one of the tracks that helped NASCAR slowly become the juggernaut that it certainly was in the early to mid 2000s, and still the very respectable force that it is right now. I just personally, like I said, all the talk is to the roots of NASCAR, to the roots of NASCAR, to the roots of NASCAR. The roots of NASCAR had the Clash at Daytona. I get it. It's a nice marketing thing, but it just feels. But when I have Mike Joy, who has forgotten more about this sport than you or I will ever know, and obviously he's getting paid and reminded by a producer to keep saying the roots of NASCAR. I get that, but I want to go, Mike. You literally are the roots of NASCAR. You were there. You understand where this place should be, has gone, and all those sort of things. I like the All-Star Race as a let's give back to the old schoolers. $1 million, old school. I like that. I'm not even a fan of how North Wilkesboro races, but I don't want to take it away from there because I do think the old school fans, and frankly, the old school names and drivers that are still around should have one weekend. They should have one weekend where it's like, yeah, let's go back to the old days. I'm clashed out. Now, am I like you and want to get rid of it? For the drivers and teams, yeah, but I mean, again, TV contracts are going to dictate we're going to have a Clash. We're going to have some sort of event. I mean, it's like preseason games, right?
Yeah.
Football games here in America. Nobody really gives the flip, but guess what? You've signed the contract, so you got to produce.
I wonder if there's some sort of like fun sort of like skills competition or something we could do instead, you know, like I had kind of half an eye on like the Pro Bowl skills competition thing they were doing. I can't even remember what it's called, but they do that in the NHL too. That's kind of my main sport, as well as the hockey. They, you know, they have their all-star game and all that, but then they also have like this, like, oh, shooting accuracy competition, or like fastest skater, or things like that. Like, it might be fun to come up with some gimmicky things that are just for fun, and then like throw a cash prize in there, see what happens, you know, something like that, instead of, hey, let's all race, but no one really cares. Oh yeah, only counts under green, so like any crash just makes things drag out forever and ever. I don't know. Just,
well, we had a buddy mention that if the laps counted under caution, this wouldn't take all night. And then I retorted back that yes, but again, then it would take 30 minutes, and you haven't fulfilled what your obligation is as a company to your TV contract partner. And you might say, well, why does that drive so much of the sport? Because they're the ones that are paying the most money.
Well,
sure. that's why that matters.
Make it 400 laps then. Like, so, I don't, you know,
because we had, again, you were in that same chat. We had a buddy point out that the yellows should, it should be the usual, the other laps count. Well, then that would be 30 minutes, because we were spinning every 5 seconds. I mean, for a while there, we did get a, if I'm being totally fair, we did get a small slither of spread out towards the end, about the last 20 to 25 laps, maybe a little bit more. Pardon me. I was kind of half in and out, if I'm being honest, because I was bored. Mm-hmm. And I was checking out the new scanner setup on Max, if you want to know the truth. That's what I spent the second half of the evening really kind of looking at.
Yeah,
because the race was leaving a lot to be desired.
Don't get me started on that. Canadians are not able to subscribe to Max, and so I'm not able to access that just yet.
Well, come on into the great US, baby boy.
Well, we'll see anyway, about that. Yeah, it's I was saying, why not? Okay, make it the caution laps count, but make it like 400 laps. There you go. I'm not concerned about how long it takes. Like, it's just like if we're crashing every couple of laps, it just gets really daunting. And it's like, oh man, this feels like it's never going to end. So
200 lap breakfast with Bone Gray was already too much. I agree with you on that one, Matt. And we're going to, and don't you move a move, brother, because we're going to talk about that comment you made at 9:27 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to talk about it. All right. So let me take a peek here at just what else we've got to cover.
We were talking a little bit where the Clash goes next. Do we enjoy the Clash as an event?
I like it as an appetite. I like the idea of it. It never quite lives up.
Right.
I don't know what I'm expecting, to be honest.
It's an amuse-bouche, if you will.
I don't know what the hell that means.
It's like the pre-appetizer.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
It's, like, the appetizer to me is the duels.
But that's the appetizer to the Daytona 500. I don't know. I look at if we're having a humongous entree that is the Daytona 500, we're the hefty family of five. Then that has got a couple apps before that. And I know, because I like being a member of that family. Let's go get a couple apps. But anywho, I like the idea of it. I like seeing cars back on the track. The actual event, I think, leaves a lot to be desired. And
agreed.
And I say this I said this with LA the last couple of years, and I said it with Bristol Dirt. I hate that it sells potentially, because there might be someone watching the first time, because there is no football for the most part, other than the Pro Bowl Skills Challenge. Ryan Hill, how are you? I'm ready for a new season too, so you can change your wallpaper to not that, anything but what it currently is. his phone wallpaper is a NASCAR driver hoisting up a big cup, if you catch my drift. And so, but here's another thing. I think it sells you on a version of the sport that doesn't really exist. You won't see anything like this the rest of the year.
No.
I mean, yeah, you'll see some more Wreckfest-ish, but it won't be anything like the little, again, the glorified bumper cars is what we were playing, folks. And if you don't like that, and if you disagree with that, I don't know what you're watching. And I want to know how many brewskis were you in deep, because that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. I didn't like it. I've said I wanted a Daytona. Adam, before we move on, is there any place that comes to mind you would like to see the Clash at next year?
Let's switch things up and make in. How about this? NASCAR joins the Rolex 24 and they do it on the Daytona road course. I know they did that 1 year, but like, make the Clash be that they have their own class within the Rolex 24. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. It's stupid. I just don't care. I don't care about the Clash.
All right. I'm not upset at that. We are unfiltered around here. We are bold opinions, and by God, that's the way it's going to be. No, I thought the Clash was pooey, and I don't want it back at Bowman Gray. I don't want to go back to Bowman Gray. I don't want to hear more about Bowman Gray. I'm Bowman Gray'd out.
Listen, I did say that no one cares about the Clash. I forgot there was one driver who really cared about the Clash, and that was this guy here, Ty Gibbs.
Oh my God! Yeah, well, gee, I mean, Lord, he gets us. He apparently gets us a temper tantrum.
Holy smokes! What in the world? Like, first of all, who cares? Second of all, like, what even happened? Like, how do you? I don't think you could even replicate that if you tried. It's insane.
Do you know how unadjusted, because you know how people say well-adjusted as human beings? Do you know how unadjusted you have to be as a human being to get that furious over something that in the grand scheme literally doesn't mean a bucket of spit?
I know. Ty is trying Dukes of Hazzard stuff, but I didn't think that stuff works. Honestly, I don't know how that even happened. I've watched it many times. I don't understand.
I don't either. I don't either. And I got to give my dog a bump.
For those of you who are just listening and not watching, we're talking about Ty Gibbs basically attacking Justin Haley with all his might and somehow almost like rolling his car in the process. Like, I don't understand any of it.
Popping the wheelie
somehow. Look, like, how do you do that?
To me, and I'm not trying to be unfair to Ty Gibbs. He's got more talent in his pinky toe and I got in the whole body. I'm not trying to be unfair, but to me that glorifies a lot of the problem with the sport today. It's a bunch of guys that don't have to deal with the consequences of their actions.
We'll see.
Because I mean, in the sense of in the old days, in the Bowman Gray glorified days that we kept harkening back to, that's a part you got to pay for yourself.
Right.
And even if you could afford to pay for it, even if your owner could pay for it, they would make you pay for it yourself because you acted like a jackwagon.
Well, it's coming out of his inheritance, I'm sure. Eventually.
I'm not none too thrilled, but it is what it is. All right, we got to move it along. And let's move into a new segment we call I'm gonna see if I can do it right here. The Speedway Scoop. Ryan Hill will love that video.
Well, let's just explain quickly. We didn't really talk about this off the top. We are now called the Speed Syndicate because a certain driver who is now retired started his own podcast, and we didn't want to take any attention away from him. We didn't want to steal his viewership. He called it Kevin Harvick's Happy Hour, which our lawyers tried to send a cease and desist. Got lost in the mail due to the Canada Post strike. So it's a little too late. No, we just, we thought it was time for a change. we're going to be the bigger people here and we're going to move on. But this segment used to be called the Happy Hour Headlines, which, if I may say so myself, I don't think I came up with it even, but it was a good little name for a segment. But now we're calling it the Speedway Scoop.
Boy, how's it just really it just, hard to get down?
Lord. It's just your time to talk about the news, you know? And it's hard to wrap up an entire off season's worth of news in one show here. We are, you know, certainly there's some recency bias here, but we'll try and touch on some of the big stuff here.
You know what we ought to talk about?
Well, there was something that you had talked about at, I believe, 9:27 p.m. Eastern. On my screen, it says 6:27 because I'm on the best coast. Oh, sorry, West Coast. Why don't we bring that comment back up here from our friend Matt Marr, fellow Canadian Matt Marr. The exemption for 41 cars is for foreign champions, so no, it would not include Mike Wallace. Sorry about your darn luck. I'll censor that for our audio listeners.
All right. Matt Marr, my man. I got nothing but love for Matt Marr. He's a member of the Refresh family, as far as I'm concerned. But that is the biggest load of manure. The reality, it is a, and I'm not even talking about Mike Wallace, because I get it. Mike Wallace hasn't had the most prestigious career in the world. I get that. Whatever. I get that, and that's all right. That's all right. Someone's got to represent the U.S. of A., and here I am to do it. But that's not the point right now.
That's right.
I get, and I understand that. I guess Mike Wallace doesn't have the pedigree of an Elio Castroneves, of course, right? I respect that. I know that. I'm not an idiot. At least most of the time. Some days, right? But I just don't like. You tell this guy, you tell Mike Wallace, he can't be a part of the race because he hasn't had enough kind of competitive racing activity. It's been so long since you've been in the cars. And clearly there was a communication issue on NASCAR's part, right? There's no
mm-hmm. –
like there is no reason for Mike Wallace to lie and act like he was informed when he wasn't. Clearly there was a communication issue on NASCAR's part. Clearly, somebody didn't make something clear to him, or something got lost in the mail. Something got lost in the sauce, and that falls on NASCAR. And I don't care what people say. Well, why didn't it fall on Mike Wallace? Because again, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. What? There is no good payoff here, so there's no reason for him to have you know, tried to pull the wool all over our eyes. Because what's he getting? Couch time during the 500? Boy, he really got us. I'm sorry. I just think that makes NASCAR look like a gimmick. Oh, Helio Castroneves, you're in. I get it. He's a four-time IndyCar champion, one of the greatest motorsports drivers of all time. And Mike Wallace is not that, let's be frank. But he still has been a part of NASCAR for the better part of the last 30 years. They certainly let Derek Cope go out there and compete. I'm not putting down Derek Cope at all. But similar age, they let him go out and compete. I just don't understand how anybody can look at that Mike Wallace situation and say the NASCAR did the right thing. I don't. I'm sorry. The exemption for Elio Castroneves, let's forget about Mike Wallace. Why doesn't Jimmy Johnson get one? He's a 7-time champion in your sport. Two other men have done that. Martin Truex is probably going to the Hall of Fame on his first ballot. Why wouldn't he get one? It's your sport. Are you trying to tell me that IndyCar means more, that their headlines mean more for your sport? Because that's what it sort of seems like. That's what it sure seems like. What's your thoughts on this, Adam? Am I just being cantankerous?
No, you're not. Well, no, you are. But I don't disagree with you. I think it was definitely a communication misstep on NASCAR's part, which would not be the first time and probably won't be the last time. I think, you know, there's a lot of moving parts in NASCAR. And sometimes someone might say, oh, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Yeah, see you there, Mike Wallace. And then someone else goes, actually, this dude's 65 years old, has not been behind the wheel of a race car in a long time. And I mean, was anyone under any grand aspirations that Mike Wallace was going to come win this Daytona 500? Like, it's not going to happen. He's going to run around in the back and probably just be a liability to someone else. Someone like Castroneves, he's, you know, he's clearly, I don't know. I feel like I sound like I'm dogging on Mike Wallace. It's just his time has come and gone. And Helio, I don't know how to say his name.
It's Elio.
Elio. He will, I'm not saying he's going to win the Daytona 500, but I think he at least can ride in the pack and he's got enough talent and, you know, in his abilities that he can. Yeah. So, but here's my thing. I think these two stories should be unrelated. I don't think Mike Wallace deserves to be in the Daytona 500. I think he's too old. It's time to move on, buddy. Love you. Appreciate you. All you've done for NASCAR. It's great. And the story about your wife absolutely tugs at my heartstrings. I feel like I'm sounding cold and I don't mean to. However, I think removed from the Mike Wallace situation, this idea of like the exemption for a 41st driver of someone with like some major pedigree, I actually don't hate the idea in theory. I kind of like it because any chance that we can have more people driving in these races and certainly names that are like recognizable to people like outside of the world of NASCAR, great, let's do it. Let's bring these names in. But they need to be able to drive. They need to be able to be competitive. And I don't think Mike Wallace would have been competitive. So I think it's unfortunate communication to Mike Wallace from NASCAR. Absolutely, they bungled that. Secondly, I think it's unfortunate timing that this news of the 41st exemption, whatever, came out around the same time that Mike Wallace was being denied. I don't think they're related at all. I don't think Mike Wallace deserves that exemption at any race. And someone like Castroneves does. The end.
For our audio listeners, I'm pondering what Adam just said.
We didn't lose Logan. We just
trying to give it some thought. All right, let me try to come at this from a calmer. Because I know I'm getting all, you know, cattywampus. All right, let's try this. You're right. I think you're right that it should be a separate discussion. So let's have a separate discussion for a very couple of minutes here. We got some time. Do you agree with me that if Castroneves is going to be automatically allowed in, kind of a spot grandfathered in, a la Hendrick and Gibbs and the Chargers, shouldn't Jimmy Johnson and Martin Truex, champions of your sport, NASCAR, one of them might be the absolute GOAT, shouldn't both of them, are one of them's already in the Hall of Fame, one's definitely gone. Shouldn't both those men, for the success they've had in your sport, also be guaranteed entry? Both have competed. Obviously, Truex is just retired. I mean, frankly, retirement doesn't truly start until after Daytona for him.
Yeah.
And Jimmy ran, you know, what was it, 9 races last year and a couple the year before that. I'm not saying he's done very well. He certainly has not. But do you agree that given those factors, they should also be guaranteed exemptions?
I didn't quite get to this in my point, and I would like to clarify this. I don't love the fact that this 41st provisional, whatever, has already been granted to Elio. I feel like there are a number of drivers that are trying to make this race, such as Jimmy Johnson, Martin Truex, that should be eligible for that exemption. And maybe if none of the three of them make it, whoever does the best in the duels or whatever should get that spot. But to name it right now and say, yes, there is a 41st spot for Elio Castroneves if he doesn't make the race. That's the thing. If he makes the race on his own merit, it's just going to be 40 drivers. And that kind of sucks. I think let's increase it to 41. Why not? Right?
I'm with Freddie. Let's go back to 43. I mean, why not? More entries.
Yeah.
Right now the cap, except for the 41 exemption, is 40. And so Matt, he said, yeah, I get it's outside of the Mike Wallace situation, but it's coupled together because it came out so close, and it just looks like NASCAR wants a good headline. That to me is what that looks like. And again, I know Mike Wallace is not everyone's favorite cup of tea. He's got very strong political views. He has said some very politically incorrect things in recent years. And I get that's not for everybody, and I respect that 100%. Let's not forget that because of those controversial opinions, that's why he hasn't been in a car in a little bit of time. Remember, he was suspended from the sport for his viewpoints, and I'm not saying I agree or disagree with them. It's just a matter of, you have to remember they're the one that kind of put him in that spot. Now you can say, well, he shouldn't have said such and such. We can have that debate on another show another time. I think the idea when we let, and I know you'll say, well, it's a super speedway. We still let Morgan Shepherd go out there in his mid-70s. We let Morgan Shepherd out there in his mid-70s. And you might say, well, he was starting in parking. Yes, but anything could have happened. We let Morgan Shepherd out there at like 75. And no, it wasn't Daytona. I get it. But still, 10 years, Mike Wallace is senior. Morgan Shepherd certainly raced.
Yeah, probably was a mistake. I didn't see it, but
Morgan Shepherd didn't stop driving until he got Parkinson's disease, which means there's a good chance he was driving some races with Parkinson's.
Right.
Because it's not like you just get diagnosed with those things.
So I just was refreshing my memory here. The open exemption provisional is what they've called it. And I just was looking at the way they worded it. It is a promoter's choice provisional, which basically means that NASCAR can choose who they want to have a guaranteed spot.
Yeah. NASCAR. And here's another
there's thing. I know Matt was mentioning that it's a for someone outside of the sport. It doesn't actually say that. It just says, the rule would become a factor if the entry list exceeds the Cup Series current starting field maximum, 40 cars, and eligible drivers would need to be pre-approved by NASCAR on a case-by-case basis with racing experience and accolades carrying significant weight. So,
I get it. I understand the whole his age. I get all that. And the reason we're able to go back and really discuss this in full, it's because we're only coming off the clash. Matt said, didn't that suspension last? I don't know the terms of that suspension. Because remember, after that suspension, Mike Wallace kind of fell off the face of the earth as far as kind of NASCAR news goes. I don't know the terms.
That's before my time. I don't know. I'm not sure how that works.
That was 2020. It was when.
Was it?
Yeah.
I've already forgotten it.
Well, I mean, it was a lot of things happened. All right. And so I get it. And like I said, the reason we're able to go back to discuss this is because it's a late show because of the clash and Chase Elliott won and praise be the siren. I get it. but I understand what everybody's talking about here. But NASCAR is also the same sport, and I know that it's not very likely to happen. But 2 years ago when Herschel McGriff went into the Hall of Fame, he made headlines for saying his big goal in life left is he wants to start a NASCAR race, one of the three series at 100. Richard Childress endorsed this idea. He said he'd supply the car. NASCAR certainly promoted the idea on their social media. They thought that was great. Well, wow, let's get Herschel out there for a starting park at 100 years old. He's currently 97.
I don't know
about that. They didn't say, oh, that's couldn't possibly do that. You might say, well, Logan, they sure don't think that's probably realistic. They still on their social media endorsed and thought it was cool and that was great. But all of a sudden, Mike Wallace at 65, when again, Morgan Shepherd was out there driving a NASCAR in his mid-70s. Hypocrisy, thy name is NASCAR. The picking and choosing is what I don't like, Matt. It isn't that I'm white knighting for Mike Wallace. I could give the flip of a wooden nickel about Mike Wallace, really. It's that, again, it's another pick and choose. Oh, the headline's good. Well, Mike Wallace isn't a big enough name. You're too old. Sit down. Kidding? That sucks. Flat out sucks.
So here's a hypothetical situation for you, yeah. Right? Let's say you've I'm going to pick a random race. I'm going to say Darlington. Spring sure. Darlington. Darlington's a popular track. You get 40 plus entrants into the race, which we honestly, other than the Daytona 500, we have not seen that in a long time.
Open half,
but I mean, just it hasn't happened in like years. Let's say you get 41 entrants, and one of those entrants is Max Verstappen, who is trying his hand at NASCAR. It's a huge deal, right? During his qualifying run, you know, runs over a something and pops a tire and winds up not actually making the race qualifying. I think at that point, NASCAR can step in and say, we're going to give him the provisional because he's a big name. That would be a, it would be a detriment to the product and to the headlines around this race to not have Max Verstappen in. So we're going to let him in. But I don't know if we want to, like, before the race has even started, before all that happens, to say, yep, Max Verstappen, you're guaranteed in no matter what happens.
Yeah.
I feel like let's make it case by case and let's decide it after qualifying and see what happens first.
Yeah, because right? That does take a little bit of the suspense, out of the duels, because, well, now we know Castroneves can, I mean, he could just ride around half a lap back and stay safe if he so desired.
Who cares, right? Although he'll probably want to get some seat time and just get used to the car. But I don't know. Like, it also, I wonder if it would depend on, like, why they didn't make the race. Like, is it a freak accident, like a tire goes down? Or is it like, man, you really had a terrible qualifying run and you ran like 15 seconds slower than the rest of the pack? Like, at that point, do you say, actually, you know what? It doesn't look like you're ready for this race. We're not going to give you the provisional.
You know, again, I just, I think the crux of my complaint is not, again, that I'm president and CEO of the Mike Wallace Fan Club. I'm not. Like, I think the crux of my complaint is always that NASCAR is very inconsistent and literally just picks and chooses however they so desire. And that's what I don't like. I want a black and white, here's what works, here's what doesn't. If Mike Wallace is too old at 65, let us know what the limit is.
Right.
Let us, is 62 the limit? Is 65 the limit? Is 70 the limit? Is 50 the limit? What is your limit? That way we don't have this conversation.
It's true.
Let Mike Wallace know in due time, every ample opportunity of what he needs to do to make you feel more comfortable. Because assuming Mike Wallace is telling us, and this goes back to the original start of this whole discussion, if Mike Wallace is telling us the truth, he got screwed because NASCAR told him very late in the game, hey, we want to see you do ARCA or trucks or something before the 500 so we feel like you can, so we can get a feel if you still can go handle this. And so that's what I'd like most of anything, is just a little bit more black and white consistency. And that's my big complaint. That it is, again, it is not that I agree with everything Mike Wallace ever said. It is not that I think he's champion of the year or the greatest NASCAR driver that never won a championship. None of that. It is, I want consistency, black and white, boom, boom, boom. And we just never get that. And there's no good reason why not. Every other major sport is pretty darn clear. There's no good reason why we can't have more. That's just my thought. Yeah, I'm going to let you have the closing words on this discussion. Adam, final thoughts?
I don't know if I've got much else to say, to be honest. I just think, yeah, it was, I stand by the decision. I don't hate the provisional. I just think it was poor timing and poor communication on NASCAR's part. And I think they could have avoided some of the backlash that came from all of this if they had handled it better from the start.
I agree. So, all right. So we got about 10 minutes left. Adam. All right. So we got Daytona coming up. For anybody listening now or in future or whatever it may be, the Speed Syndicate will be back next Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern time, and we will give you our predictions of who's going to do what, who's going to win the championship, who's going to do what, who's going to hot takes, the whole deal. That is next week. So if you're wondering.
Prep your hot takes for next week, because I'm going to keep receipts. I know I said that last year, and then I did a really bad job of it. So we're actually going to hold you to it this year.
For the record, lately, you've been really good at keeping receipts and coming through when say somebody gets a prediction right.
That's true.
You have been really good lately.
Depends on if I agree with it sometimes too, or if I like the person. But
So let me I know it's a little far off. We are what, 9 days away from qualifying for Daytona, the first qualifying session, and then of course you got the duels and all that. But am I right in this? Is it only two people from the duels are going to get the spot? Two.
Guaranteed spots, I believe. Justin's ears were ringing here. I don't like the receipts that Adam keeps. I do love to just point out when someone was wrong, like a really long time ago.
Yeah.
I know it's not very nice. I mean, I'm sorry, Justin. I'm sorry you've been on the receiving end of that every once in a while.
Yeah.
I believe that's right. I'm gonna have to brush up on my rules around the Daytona 500 qualifying. It's all this whole thing, and I think I wrote an article about it last year. You can go look for that. But I believe, yeah, the two fastest open cars in the duels, or two highest finishing open cars, I should say, probably the highest finishing in each duel are guaranteed in, and then the rest are battling out each other. Is that correct?
That is my understanding. I gotta brush up every year.
I know.
It's weird how it kind of leaves your system for a few months and then you gotta kind of refresh everything, if you will. No pun intended there. Yeah, we gotta get our racing refresh on.
That's and right.
Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, folks. Got a lot of content coming your way. Don't be afraid to subscribe to that YouTube channel and check out racingrefresh.com for all the news and notes and motorsports.
Or we've got this. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Music now, because we're up in the podcast game, you can also follow us there, and that's great too. So find us wherever you like to, and just follow us.
Don't be afraid to get your brand new Speed Syndicate T-shirts. You can get you nice matching hat and T-shirt.
Very exciting.
Anywho, that was shilling time with Logan and I.
Yeah.
That is where we sell like we're pro wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, I gotta ask it because we try to check our fandom at the door here, but we don't lie about the fact that we're fans too. We don't lie
about it. I know exactly what you're about to ask me, but
it's because we got time to kill. And so, are you nervous about your boy getting in the Daytona 500?
I'm not nervous for him. I'm nervous that he's doing it with Tricon, which has never fielded a cup car ever before. So I'm not nervous about his ability. It's more like, will the equipment even be enough to get him in the race? I'd be really sad if he doesn't make the race.
Look, I don't mean to break out the tinfoil hat here, but is it possible that it's Tricon in name only to get around the red tape?
It's possible. I don't know. I mean,
this
I wonder.
Sport of love to get around. I mean, it was built on getting around red tape.
That's true. I'm sure Tricon has some fingers in the pie here a little bit, because who knows? Maybe they're going to see, you know, if they've got what it takes to compete at the cup level. Maybe that's plans for them down the road, right? Like, so this might be a good stepping stone for them, and with a driver who is, you know, good, still got it, I think. But yeah. I don't know. Is Martin Truex going to win the Daytona 500? I doubt it. Yeah, exactly, Justin. Is it really a Tricon car, or do you see JGR if you peel back the wrap? The car is prepped by JGR. You shouldn't worry. Is that so? I'm not 100. I don't know.
If you think he's just this big of a diplomat on this show, folks, this is who he is. This is who he is in real life too. Personal hot takes, Truex doesn't make it.
Man, that's
Adam,
big.
I'm ready for you to come out the chair and cut the promo. What's up, buddy?
That is a hot take, especially from you, Justin, a fellow Truex fan like myself. Although I know he's moving on. I haven't quite committed to my next driver yet. I will let you know next Monday at this time. I will tell you who my next driver is. I'm going to make the decision over the next week. I'm really struggling with it, but I'm going to decide.
Actually, I'm gonna tell you, I hope we're off the air by this time next week because we started a little late.
It's true. Okay, whatever. You know. Anywho, yeah, I hope he makes it. I just think, and partially also for personal selfish reasons, I'm actually going to be at the Daytona 500. So, this is actually going to be the first race I'm ever attending as a fan, and I don't know if I've said that before, but just the way, the weird way that my NASCAR fandom started, just at the kind of halfway through 2019, 2020 started, COVID, all that stuff. They weren't having people at the track. And then I got involved in Racing Refresh here. And so my first time ever at a NASCAR race, I was actually as media at the Portland Xfinity race, I believe in 2021. And so, yeah, I've never been to a race as a fan. So I'm going as a fan. I literally leave a week tomorrow to head on down to Daytona. I'm going to spend a week in Florida and check it all out. It's going to be awesome. So,
well, we hope you have a great time. We look forward to hearing your report back.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'll be reporting in on the fan experience, which I'm not as familiar with. So
absolutely.
But yes, I would love to see Martin Truex.
Quick comment to get you from Matt Maher. Only one I'm worried about is for his boy, Allgaier, making a JRM. That's right. Junior Motorsports and Chris Stapleton getting together. Yeah. That'd be big. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up on another hour.
Thanks, Justin.
And look, we greatly appreciate you tuning in. Justin, thank you. Matt, thank you. Freddie is a tried and true supporter.
It's true.
Big leaguer.
Ryan was here for a bit too. We'll shout out Ryan.
What do you say we closed out a little bit of closing time?
Let's do it.
All right, let's bring in the most beautiful lady on the dais. Let's bring her in for some final words. Producer Baltimore, we've had I don't want to say a hotly contested debate. It was a good discussion.
Yeah.
On Mike Wallace and just kind of where NASCAR is as far as, you know, making headlines and trying to get good press, if you will. We certainly have talked about the clash. What are your final words? Do you want any topics you want to tap into, or you have the floor?
I didn't listen to a single word about the Mike Wallace debate. So
cool. You know, it's great when we lost our producer.
Yeah. She was so busy producing that she couldn't even hear what we were saying.
Look, she knows how to tune me out, folks.
I'm sure she's good at doing it to me too.
All right. So what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, Adam, may I pitch to you being a Ryan Blaney fan?
You can pitch it. Yeah. I'm taking everyone into under advisement. I can't speak, but yes, we will. I probably won't, just cause I feel like, even just for the sake of this show, it's nice if we have three different drivers that we root for. But I don't hate Ryan Blaney. I'm a fan. I would say I'm an outside peripheral fan of Ryan Blaney. Thank you.
I root for a team, my guy.
I know. Well, your two results together can maybe catch up to.
that's real nice. All right. Is that all you got, Producer Peyton?
Yeah.
All right. Adam Carabine, final words.
I wanted to shout out my friends who are coming with me to the Daytona 500. And I prepared a couple photos here for you. They are two number one fans in Canada. They're bigger fans than I am. They're crazy, and they love Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott. That's their drivers. We just had some snow, the first snow of the year, over this past weekend out on this West Coast here. And I just wanted to show you how they celebrated the snow by piling it all up. We've got the number 9, and then on the other side of the car it says the number 5. So,
oh boy, they were happy folks last night then.
Yeah, yeah. So absolutely, they were. Actually, I believe I got a text right after the checkered flag, and it said, "All is right with the world again." So,
I hate to burst any bubbles, but it doesn't count for points, though.
They, I know, yeah, but you know what? It's. I'd be happy if it was one of my drivers winning it. So.
I hear you.
Yeah. So shout out to them. A great little snowman take on a snowman there. And perhaps They may even make a starring role or a guest star. I can't speak tonight. They may appear on the show in a couple weeks because I will be coming to you live from Daytona. So yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
You just got snow. Yeah, I know. It was a little late getting here. And yes, Mississippi saw snow before Canada. Yeah. Well, not Canada, the West Coast of Canada. But we tend to be a little more temperate than people realize. I know there's this whole thing about Canadians being in igloos and all that stuff. It's not entirely true. We just happen to have some people that are in igloos. And my weather is very similar to Seattle, which is a lot of rain.
Good word, Tim.
Anyways, okay, final words, Logan. Wrap it up. Let's get out of here.
All right, buddy. Well, look, we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in this week. And we hope that we have you each and every week, quite frankly. And if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do. Please do. We've got a lot of great content coming in 2025. You're going to want to check that out. Don't be afraid to check us out on Facebook and X and everywhere else and Instagram. And I think we just got a Blue Sky account. Yeah, absolutely subscribe. Hit that button one more time there, would you, Pete? Oh, yeah. Hit that subscribe button. Come on now. Don't be stingy with it. We'll grow this thing, but only do that with you. And so we want to thank all our subscribers, listeners, and supporters so far. We love you truly, and we could not do it without you. And we hope that we're doing you justice. Anyway, with that, it's good to be back. But don't forget to be safe and take care of yourself. And hey, NASCAR season is here. Cloudy skies are clear again, ladies and gentlemen. So with that, we'll see you real soon. I'm Logan, and that's Adam, and that's the best-looking lady on this dais. And until next time. Take care.